Hello again, Stuart and Jody here. Now in a 4 week period of lockdown, we won't be gathering on Sunday on church, whether you're listening to this on Sunday or after that. So we're glad that you're joining together to worship with us. Let's commit this time into God's love and care. Let us pray. Father God, as we gather together in your presence and connected to each other, we pray that you would come to us, that you would minister to us, that you would speak to us, that you would encourage us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jude is going to come now and bring our reading from Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30.
For it is as if a man, going on a journey, summoned his slaves and entrusted his property to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, each according to his ability. Then he went away. The one who had received the 5 talents went off at once and traded with them and made 5 more talents. In the same way, the one who had the 2 talents made 2 more talents. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Then the one who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 more talents, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 5 talents. See, I've made 5 more talents." His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And the one with the 2 talents also came forward, saying, "Master, you handed over to me 2 talents. See, I have made 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and trustworthy slave. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." Then the one who had received the 1 talent also came forward, saying, "Master, I knew that you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here, you have what is yours." But his master replied, "You wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I do not sow, and I gather where I did not scatter? Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers, and on my return I would have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one with the 10 talents. For to all those who have, more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who have nothing, even what they have will be taken away. As for this worthless slave, throw him into the outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth."
Thank you, Jody. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that as we apply it and seek to interpret and understand it in our own lives, that your Holy Spirit would come and bring a living word. In Jesus' name we pray. We're continuing with our series on stewardship, and this week we're looking at how God entrusts us with different talents. I purposely chose to read this week from the New Revised Standard Version. I often use the New International Version because the New Revised Standard Version says talents, and in the NIV it says bags of gold, which doesn't quite capture it in the same way, because our word talent comes from the Greek of this passage, meaning a whole life's earnings or everything that we have to offer during the course of our lives. The story of the parable isn't about money as such, but rather how we use the gifts, skills, and talents God gives us, or don't, as the case may be. It isn't the quantity of talents that matters, but how we use them. In the story, the servants are given 5, 2, and 1 talent, respectively. And what matters is that they put the talent to use. I think that if the servant with one talent had put his talent to use and even lost it, at least the master would have seen that he had tried and that he'd made an effort. Mother Teresa of Calcutta was once speaking to a journalist who said, "You're not really making much a dent in all the poverty and the people that are dying on the streets by the work that you're doing, are you? You're not being very successful in changing things." And she replied that she wasn't called to be successful, but she was just called to be faithful. How many talents or gifts do you have? I know in my own case, I don't have as many gifts or talents or skills as my wife. She's much more multi-talented than I am. But God doesn't call us to use talents which we don't have, which he hasn't given us in the first place. Even if you are a one-trick pony, be a faithful one-trick pony and do your one thing well and faithfully. Any talent that we have can be used to the glory of God. Musicians can use their musical talents to sing praises to God, but even the music that they play, any type of music, can point to God. Footballers with their skill, with their dribbling and their ballet-like playing and dancing as they score goals, can give glory to God with their skill. Athletes can reflect something of the beauty and glory of God. I'm reminded of Eric Liddell, the British and Scottish sprinter who ended up as a missionary in China of the famous Chariots of Fire film. He said, "I believe God made me for a purpose, but he also made me fast. And when I run, I feel his pleasure." So Eric Liddell knew he'd been given a gift by God and felt God's pleasure when he fulfilled that gift in running. I was never a great athlete or football player at school, although I enjoyed playing football. I was never a great musician. I tried to learn the guitar a couple of times and still can't play fluently and just can play it, strum a few chords, and that's about all I can manage. But God has given me some gifts as a preacher and as a pastor, and I'm to use them for his glory. I can pray, I can preach, I can pastor, I can do a good funeral. These are gifts that God has given me. I'm aware that I lack many gifts. I'm not good at administration or planning or management. But that is why we need each other. I'm not called to be a lone ranger, but to be part of a community, the body of Christ, where many gifts are given and used for the common good and the building up of community. Going back to the story, the servant with one talent had a distorted view of his master. And likewise, we can have distorted views of God. Our image of God is very important and shapes everything, how we look at the world, how we react to everything. Is God a hard, harsh taskmaster, like in verse 24, where it says, "Then the one who had received the one talent also came forward saying, 'Master, I knew you were a harsh man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you did not scatter seed. So I was afraid and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.'" In the story, perhaps the master was a harsh and hard taskmaster. But that isn't a good reflection of God. And if we have that vision of the God we serve, then we will be fearful to do anything because we think we're always going to get punished or found falling short in some way. But God isn't like that. God is a generous and bountiful God who pours out his gifts upon us and gives us gifts and skills and talents that we can use them to be a blessing to others. Do we have a distorted image of God and we're so afraid of God that we hide the talents he has given us in the ground? Instead of using those gifts to be used to bless and to benefit others. And the more we use and practice these gifts, the more fruitful they become in our lives. It's a bit like learning a language. If you have a proficiency or an ability to speak a language, a foreign language, and you've learned it and practiced it. I know in my own case, having lived in Nicaragua, learning Spanish over many years, if you use it daily and have to speak and preach and work in another language, then you become more fluent and it becomes easier. If you don't use that gift, I don't use it so much nowadays, my Spanish, but I try to keep my hand in by watching Spanish programs on YouTube, by reading in Spanish, by listening to music in Spanish, to keep my ear in. But if you don't use it, you lose it. And likewise, gifts, if we don't use them and utilize them, then they become fossilized and not life-giving things. It's the same in sport. Great footballers, your Pelés and your Maradonas and your Messis, still need to practice to hone the gifts they've been given. And likewise, musical geniuses who play the violin or the piano or whatever, they've been given a gift, but they still need to practice to hone that gift, to make that gift become a living thing. But not many of us will be great footballers or musical geniuses. But we're not all called to that. We're not called to be successful, but we are called to be faithful. And we all want to hear the words from our master, as it's in verse 21 and 23, where it says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been trustworthy in a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." It seems even in eternity, we'll be given tasks to do. No resting on clouds plucking harps. But more importantly, we will enter into the joy of our master, the joy of being with him in his presence and enjoying him forever. When I was thinking about the theme of talents and using the gifts that God has given us, a song by a Scottish folk singer called Dick Gochan, called "What You Do With What You Got," popped into my mind this week, and I'll close with the chorus. I was swithering about whether to sing you this song, but I decided against it. If you want to look at it online, then I can give you details for that, but just look for "What You Do With What You've Got" as a song, and I'm sure you'll find it. And this is the chorus where it says, "It's not just what you're born with, it's what you choose to bear. It's not how big your share is, but how much you can share. And it's not the fights you dreamed of, but those you really fought. It's not what you've been given, it's what you do with what you've got." So it doesn't matter how many gifts, how many talents we've been given. It's what we do with what we've been given. It's what we do with what we've got. Let us pray. Father God, you've given to each of us a gift, a talent to be used for your glory and for the benefit and blessing of others. Help us not to hide our gifts, but to use them, to practice them, to utilize them, to be a blessing to others and to further your kingdom's purposes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of our church members, Dave Taylor, is now going to lead us in some prayers of intercession.
Let us pray. Lord God, Father of all, we come before you knowing that you love us, knowing that you are our rock and our salvation, knowing that when we pray, you hear us. We live in extraordinary times. There's so much we want to pray for that we do not know where to start. We want to pray for our friends and families, for our sisters and brothers in Christ, our neighbours, our country, our world. There's so much need. It is overwhelming. But we know that in the storms of life, you are that still small voice that guides and cares for us and knows what we need before we ask it. Father, we remember first all those affected by the coronavirus pandemic, those who are sick at home or in hospital, those that cannot get the treatment they need because of the pandemic, and those grieving loved ones lost to the virus or other causes. We weep together with those that weep and pray for your comforting hand upon them, for daughters and sons, mothers and fathers, friends and colleagues. May each in their own way find what they need and know that in the darkest times you offer light, peace and hope. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for all those whose jobs and livelihoods are threatened by the financial consequences of the lockdown, for those who've lost their jobs or fear that they will soon do so, for business owners that have had to close and do not know if they will be able to reopen again, for the self-employed struggling to find work, for students starting out in life with opportunities they've worked so hard for suddenly closed. Lord, draw close to each one. Let them know that whatever their situation, there is hope and that you are there to hold them, to comfort them and to give them the strength to carry on. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for our church and community here in Malton. It was good to be able during the summer to meet family and friends and finally to once more be able to worship and pray together. But we worry about the effect of this second lockdown. We pray for our leaders and our deacons that they will have wisdom and compassion to guide and serve the church in your name. We think of the various groups in the church that can no longer meet together. We pray for the brigades, Toddlin and all the other groups. Carey, this is the fabric of our life of our church. Lord, comfort and bless all those leaders and members of whichever group, and that in this time of separation, let them know that they are not forgotten and that we will meet together again. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray for the government of this country and governments around the world. COVID-19 has wrought havoc in many countries where healthcare systems have been totally overwhelmed. We pray that you will give world leaders the wisdom to govern wisely in this time of change, seeking to bring peace and reconcile competing demands, to bring comfort and help to their people. We think also at this time of changes in the United States of America, where the presidential election is ongoing. The results, which we do not know yet, will be crucial not just for the United States, but for the rest of the world. We pray that whatever that result is, you will heal the divisions in that nation, and that the new president will govern with skill, integrity and understanding, supporting those in need and always seeking to do right. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, in this time it is sometimes difficult to think of anything outside of the coronavirus pandemic. It is in the news, in our papers, on our computers, on our mobiles, virtually 24 hours a day. There is no small fact or projection that has not been picked apart, discussed, analysed, publicised and tweeted 1,000 times over. It's enough to make even the strongest heart fear for the future and wonder when we will again be able to look forward with hope. But even in this crisis, we can see your hand at work through neighbours and friends that have sought out those in need and offered help, nurses and doctors in hospitals, shop workers and delivery drivers. All have continued to do their work in the most difficult of times. We've seen so many acts of kindness which have been an inspiration and an example. We know bring joy to your heart. Lord, help us to love one another more, not just now, but every day. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Finally, dear Lord Father, we come before you to thank you and praise you for your love, kindness and care for each one of us. Sometimes we cannot always see in the trials and tribulations we face and need to remind ourselves that you are always there. We are your children, needing your forgiveness and comfort, guidance and love. We know that you know us better than we know ourselves and that you know what we need before we ask. Help us to lean on you and to know that whether we can see it or not, all things work together for good. Go before us in the week ahead. Whatever we need to do, wherever we need to go, in our homes, with our own families, Father, be with each one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, dear, for those prayers of intercession. Let us close with a prayer and a blessing. Let us pray. O Christ, the Master Carpenter, who at the last, through wood and nails, purchased our whole salvation, wield well your tools in the workshop of your world, so that we who come rough-hewn to your bench may here be fashioned to a truer beauty of your hand. We ask it for your own name's sake. And may the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer, be with us and remain with us this day and always. Amen. So thank you for gathering with us, whether you're a local resident in Moulton or Northampton, or whether you listened more widely. We'll be here in the coming weeks during this period of lockdown. So go well. Stay safe. God bless.